Our text for today is three verses in 1 Corinthians chapter 5. So if you're physically able, would you stand while I read these three verses in your hearing? We honor God as we stand in his presence. 1 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 6, 7, and 8. It says, "Your boasting is not good. Do you not know that a little leaven leavens a whole lump? Clean out the old leaven that you may be a new lump, as you really are unleavened. For Christ, our Passover lamb, has been sacrificed." And finally, verse 8, "Let us therefore celebrate the festival, not with old leaven, the leaven of malice and evil, but with the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth." Amen. Father, we just bow now before you, before your mighty presence, and our hearts go out and say, thank you, Lord, for the new day. Thank you for the grace that brought us through all of the difficulties and challenges of life. Thank you for your love that kept us encouraged as we were sometimes perplexed and discouraged and struck down. But your love helped us to know that we are more than conquerors through Christ who has loved us. And thank you for everything that you did to bring us here together today. And Holy Spirit, meet us now here. Draw near to us, Father, and meet us in this room. As you did in the temple, fill this room with your spirit. Fill this room with your glory. Every soul that's troubled, Lord, bring peace. The peace of God that surpasses all understanding, bring peace now so that we can enjoy our time together in your word. Guide us now into truth in Jesus' name. Every soul that believes said, amen. Well, God bless you, and you may be seated. Our simple subject for today is celebrate. Celebrate. You all may remember that we have been talking about this subject for the last 2 weeks, looking at this matter of celebration in Revelation chapter 11. And so as this week rolled around, God just began to stir my heart more to think about this issue of celebration. And so that's how I was drawn to this particular subject matter today. I don't have to do a lot of explanation for celebration because it's a pretty common practice among us. That's my simple definition there. Celebration is an expression of joy, you see. It's a way to express pleasure as we gather. It's a way to express joy and pleasure in a specific event. And so when you think of celebration, it's an activity that is experienced in every generation. Every generation of people understands celebrating of some kind, you see. Globally, this is not something that's confined to a particular nation or tribe or people or tongue. Globally, people find ways to celebrate. Now, the fact is that the world has many reasons for celebration. Think of the sports world. They have all kind of, we celebrate when a team wins along the way in the season. We celebrate when they get in the playoffs. We celebrate if they win everything, you know, whether it's the World Series or whatever thing that is that they win. We celebrate they're in Paris right now, right? They're over there celebrating in 2024 for all of these athletic achievements, right? And so the world has plenty of reasons to celebrate. We celebrate award shows, don't we? The Academies and the Grammys and the SAG and the this thing and the that thing, the BET have awards and all folks, all kind of awards that we celebrate. We celebrate movie premieres. Celebrate when a movie comes out. We celebrate when it reaches the $300 million mark or whatever the thing is. The world just looks for excuses to celebrate, don't they? And they got plenty of them. Yeah, plenty of excuses and to celebrate. Celebrate when an album gets released. I guess it ain't albums no more. What is it, CD? Celebrate when a CD gets released. We celebrate at music concerts and on and on and on. We celebrate when the new year comes in, you see? And the world's got plenty of reasons to celebrate. But I want to say to you that the people of God have reasons to celebrate too. And we don't need to be ashamed of that. Some people come to Christ and they think it's the dullest life there is. There's a reason some people don't come to Christ. They think we don't know how to have any joy. You see, but that's looking on the outside. Yeah. In my little hometown, my little town in Arkansas where I grew up, all that we had was a public swimming pool. Y'all ever been to a public swimming pool? Y'all, I don't know if you've ever done it. But that's all we had, you see. And, I don't know, back in those days, I don't think that the people knew a whole lot about fixing the water. I mean, you smell the pool before you... Well, you open the door to your roll down the window of your car and you smell the swimming pool because... it's just the way it was. You get in there and can't have C when you get done. But the thing about it is, all the kids standing around on the outside, they don't know nothing about the water on the inside. You can't know nothing about the water unless you what? You got to get in. You can stand around and talk about it and all of that, but if you don't get in the water, you don't know. And I'm saying that that's some of the problem with folks standing around looking at Christians. They're guessing. They don't know what it's like. That's the reason Jesus said what? Come and see. Yeah. Come on in. Stick your toe in the water and see. You can get some more on there. You'll find out the water ain't that bad. And I can't digress here too much, but you see, when you grow up in the country, we didn't have no swimming lessons. You don't go to no class and teach you how to swim. You just you get pushed in or thrown in or something. And you either gonna swim or sink, you know. And see, the beauty of the Christian life is that when we invite people to come and see, we ain't inviting them to come and sink. You ain't gonna be terrorized. But you see, me telling you about it ain't gonna help you. You got to come and see for yourself. Isn't that what the Bible said? Taste and what? See that the Lord is good. You got to taste it for yourself. Yeah? And so, I just want to spend a few minutes reminding you all of how good it tastes to be in the Christian life. it's a good thing to be a Christian. Yeah? Yeah. And so, I just want to look at celebration for a few minutes in the Old Testament and celebration in the New Testament. I'll try to wrap it up and we'll be done, all right? So, when we think about celebration in the Old Testament, you've heard the word Sabbaths before, haven't you? I mean, that's the Hebrew word for Sunday. You know, they had these Sabbaths. It literally means holy day, you see? And so the Hebrew people, God had told them about these Sabbaths or these holy days. And so they had one a week. Okay? They had a holy day once a week, just like we do. But then they had more. They had once a month they had a holy day. Okay? The new moon and various things like that. They had holy Sabbaths where they celebrated, where they worshiped. And then they had one every 7 years. They had a holy day. And then, you know, you know, the 50th, every 50 years. And so they had all these Sabbaths, and those celebrations are outlined in Leviticus 23 and 24. But then you had these appointed feasts where God told his people. You remember when I told you God brought Israel out of Egypt, and he had to teach them how to eat and how to dress and all of this kind of thing. But he also had to teach them how to celebrate, because they'd been with these heathens all of these generations, and all they knew how to do was to celebrate like Egyptians. God said, I'm going to teach you how to celebrate like my people. So he gave them these, what? These festivals. And y'all know them. You've heard of them before. Passover and right, unleavened bread and first fruits. And you remember that? The festival of weeks. Y'all know we call it Pentecost. Yeah, and then on and on. Yeah, booths and all of those. And so those appointed feasts were times that God's people could celebrate. Again, they outlined in Leviticus 33. But then they celebrated their deliverance from Egypt. You all know that. You can see them celebrating. They celebrated when a new king was crowned, or the coronation of a king. They celebrated when the temple was built and it was time to give God the glory, right? Celebrated the dedication of a temple. They celebrated when they won a victory. Why? They realized that the battle is not yours, but what? It's the Lord's. And so it's the Lord that deserves the glory when you get a victory. And that's the reason in this world people don't understand. They're trying to praise us and give us all of these credits, and we say, praise the Lord. You see, you can't start, you can't handle, you weren't built to handle all that praise. Some people think they are. You just let it heap up, and you just be nodding your head and agreeing. But folks, you better learn how to deflect praise. Praise will make you an arrogant person. And what does the Bible say? Pride, what? Goes before what? Destruction. God hates the proud. So my brother, my sister, don't let that, when people are commending you, trying to, you know, compliment you about something that you've done good, give God the what? Give God the glory. Yeah? And so when there was the victory, they learned how to praise and celebrate God, because God had won the victory for them. And they learned to thank God when the harvest seasons roll around, you see. Learn to thank God and praise him and celebrate at weddings and birthdays. And then Psalm 45 even said that they had, there was just times that they knew, well, we need to celebrate the name of God. And I'm just saying that to you. You need to think about that. You don't have to be in a building like this to celebrate and praise God. You understand that? You can do it anywhere. And you should celebrate joy. If the joy is in you, then it ought to what? Come out. Yeah, joy. And so then we move on to the New Testament. And in the New Testament, you find that Christians stop celebrating what I'm going to call the ceremonial activity, the ceremonial celebrations. Like I mentioned to you before, Passover. They stop celebrating Passover. They stop celebrating unleavened bread and first fruits and all of those. Why? Why did the people in the New Testament stop celebrating those feasts that were appointed by God? Because Jesus became the reality for those feasts. Jesus became what? The Passover lamb. What did John say? Behold, what? The Lamb of God that takes away our sin. You don't have to say. Thank God we didn't have to drive up here with a trailer full of sheep and goats and cows. Can you imagine that? I have to stand up here in front of you with a white robe on. We had to dig. See, we'd have to cut a trench down the floor and let it drain out, because all I'd be doing up here is slitting animals' throats and let the blood drain out. Thank God that we don't need to do that anymore. Why? The Lamb of God has already come, and he's what? Taken away our sins. You see? Jesus became the fulfillment of those fruits. In unleavened bread, he was buried. Not only did he die, he was buried in a borrowed tomb. Why? Because he wasn't going to be there long. Yeah, you just let him use it for 3 days. Buried in a borrowed tomb. And then the first fruit, he was the first one to see to be resurrected. You get the picture? And then 50 days after that, what did he do? See, he sent the Holy Spirit. So, see, he fulfilled that. You remember when he stood up in the synagogue there in Luke 4, I believe it was, and he said, "The Spirit of the Lord is what? Upon me, and he's anointed me." Y'all remember that? He read that the text from Isaiah, and he said, "This day, today, this scripture is what? Fulfilled in your hearing." Didn't it? And you read through the book of Matthew over and over and over again. It says, so that this might be fulfilled. So that what? This thing might be fulfilled. So we don't celebrate those things anymore. It's not that they weren't good. They were good. But they were good for what? A time. They were types and shadows, what? Until the real one came. We don't celebrate the coronation of the king because the king is already, what? He's already come. He is the what? The King of Kings. Yeah, yeah? All right. So the church stopped celebrating the ceremonial feast. And you remember, see, we don't even celebrate the temple anymore. You remember what Jesus, when there was so much... such an arrogant attitude about the temple. You remember Jesus was standing outside the temple. He said, "Destroy this temple and what? See there, y'all know it. And what? 3 days I'll raise it up." So we see, we don't worship brick and mortar anymore. Yeah? We don't worship brick and mortar anymore. We worship him who is the true. And so wherever Jesus is, you see, we can worship. But we do. We worship at weddings. You remember Jesus went to a wedding, didn't he? And it was I shouldn't say worship. We celebrate. That's what we're talking about. It's right. Celebration. So we celebrate at weddings. Our Lord celebrated them there. And we know that it's an opportunity for us to represent God, you see, at occasions like that. We celebrate at baptisms. Y'all remember that? When Jesus was baptized, it said what? A voice from heaven said, "This one is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased." And then y'all know the story over in Acts when Cornelius sent to have the gospel, you know, preached to his family. Y'all remember that? And he gathered his whole household together, and they heard the gospel and all of those. Imagine your whole household gets saved, but then they had what? They all got baptized, and they had a celebration. Can you imagine a celebration in that house when everybody got saved and baptized? You see? So we celebrate at baptisms, and it's right. It honors God. It's an event where we can thank God, where he can be honored, you see. Not only that, we see that in the New Testament, there was celebrations around miracles. Y'all remember in John 12, maybe, when Mary and Martha were really upset at Jesus. You remember, they sent for him and because Lazarus was sick. Y'all remember that story? Yeah, I know you do. Lazarus was sick. And Jesus, what, purposely stayed away. And folks, his own disciples couldn't understand. Well, what are you doing, Lord? They need you. You can heal people. Why? He said that he's purposely stayed away. And he told them, now Lazarus is asleep. He said, well, if he's asleep, you can still go sit by him. Now he said, no, Lazarus is dead. Y'all remember that? So when he finally showed up, Martha's so upset. You remember, ran out and met him, and she's kind of fussing a little bit. Yeah, she wasn't exactly happy because you could have got here. So she's in essence, she's blaming Jesus for Lazarus' death. You remember that? And then, anyway, you know the whole story. So Jesus said, "Show me where he is." So he took him to the cemetery. Y'all remember that? and the gospel is just so wonderful. Took him to the cemetery, and Jesus said, you know, back in those days, they put a stone, you know, a stone in front of the tomb. Y'all know it. Keep folks from getting in and vice versa, keep the dead from coming out. So Jesus said, roll back the stone, and y'all know the story. He's stinking by now. But Jesus said, do what I tell you, roll back the stone. And what did he do? Called him by name, called a dead man by name. Imagine that. Called a dead man by name. Lazarus, come forth, come out of there. What did he do? He came out. Now you imagine that. You talk about gossip. I imagine that was a whole lot of gossip going around town about that. But my point in telling you that story is you find out that they had a big celebration at Mary and Martha and Lazarus' house, didn't they? And all the community came together. Why? Because a miracle is a reason to what? To celebrate. To celebrate. Today we act like these TV preachers are just messing up people's joy. You know, a miracle ain't something that just happens all the time. A miracle is special. A miracle is special. It needs to. You need to celebrate when God has done something that wonderful for you. Rather than running around as if God owes you something. You see? Consider yourself blessed if God works a miracle for you. How many times have you been in a financial crunch and God bring you through? You see, I'm going to tell you something now. Y'all have heard, I think I've told this story before. You don't have to be, you know, people talk about getting a check in the mail. That's wonderful if that happened. But you see, my wife and I, we went through a period of time. And I was a brand new Christian and I didn't know anything, but you know, I just had learned about tithing, and I was doing that. But we were in a lot of debt, and we'd done the usual stuff. I'd bought these new cars and, you know, all this kind of stuff. But God had convinced me that I needed to give. And, you know, tithing is the place you start giving. Ain't the where you end. Tithing ain't a goal. Tithing is just so, you know, you want to know where should I start? You start right there. And then grow, because people didn't know. They don't know how much to give. So God gives you what? He gives you a place to start. And so anyway, so we were tithing, and it ended up, we only had about $100 or $200 left out of, you know, to last us for 2 weeks. You know, got to buy gas and, you know, eat and all that kind of stuff. And to this day, all I can tell you is that $200 stretched over that two-week period. Why? Because God was working. It's like those little fish. You remember what they gave them the little boy's lunch? He took them little fish and what? And those few little loaves of bread, and what did he do? They just kept. You see, that's a miracle when God helps you get through things like that. Don't take it for granted. It's a blessing. When God shows you that I bless you, you see? And so it's worth celebrating when God does something that wonderful for you. And then you find out in the scriptures that we celebrate when a sinner repents. You remember that? I think it's Luke. Luke 15. Remember Luke 15 where we got the parable of what? The lost coin, you know, in the house, and the parable of all the way down to the parable of the prodigal son. You remember that? And then in each case, there was a celebration, you see, when that was lost was found, the little lamb that went astray, and they found him, they had a celebration. When the coin was found, they found it, and they had a what? Celebration. When the prodigal son came home, what did they do? They had a celebration. And so the Bible says there's more joy in heaven than what? One sinner repents. So why don't we have joy down here? You see? That's the cause of what? Celebration. Celebration. And then, you know, they celebrated when Jesus entered Jerusalem. They call it the triumphal entry. In Revelation, Revelation 5, we see that there's a celebration when people are saved in Christ. And then finally, Revelation 15, we celebrate at the final victory of Christ. Now, that's all of that to prepare you for these next few minutes. Because the text that we're looking at in 1 Corinthians 5 is what we want to talk about, celebration in particular, all right? Now can you go back, and can you find your Bible now and go back to our text at 1 Corinthians 5 and look at verse 6. 1 Corinthians 5 and look at verse 6. You notice what Paul says here. Your boasting is not good. Do you not know that a little leaven leavens the whole lump? Now see, he's concerned about the way they're celebrating in Corinth. Okay? Now you've been with me all along because we've been smiling and you've been nodding and it's been a good thing. But you see, sometimes you have to make some correction in your celebration. And that's what we want to talk about today. You can't just celebrate any kind of way and think it's okay with God. There's things going on in churches today that look good and sound good, but God ain't pleased with it. Amen. It feel good. People think that just because it feel good, it's okay, it's right. Just because it looks good, it's right. You see? Just because the majority of people agree with it, it's right. No, 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 no. You can't celebrate before God any kind of way. All right? And I know you didn't think we were going here, but I just want to make a quick correction, all right? And then we'll move on. You see what we read there in the verse? Your boasting is not good. Do you not know that a little leaven leavens the whole lump? So there's my statement. The Corinthians were celebrating while ignoring sin. God doesn't want that. He wants us to celebrate, but he don't want you to celebrate and then try to covet your sin. He don't want you to celebrate and trying to cover up your sin, you see. He don't want you to celebrate and try to camouflage, you see. Look good on the outside, but on the inside, you know, things ain't right. Yeah? And so that's what, I don't know how many of you are familiar with this chapter, so I just want to take a minute or two and just bring everybody on board. For those of you who don't know, 1 Corinthians 5 talks about a situation in this church. This was a metropolitan church, big church. A lot of people coming from a lot of different backgrounds. But there was a situation in this church which Paul said that heathens don't even do. The situation was this. You had these are two members in good standing, all right? Members in good standing in the church. But this was a son, a young man, who was shacking up with his stepmother. Mm-hmm. Go back and read it for yourself. I didn't read the earlier verses, but start at verse 1 and you'll find out that's what was going on. A young man was shacking up with his stepmother. They were members in good standing. And Paul says, come on. Everybody knows this. Not only that, they were proud of it. That's the reason it said, you're boasting in this? You're celebrating as if this is something wonderful. You see the situation? He said, unbelievers don't even do this. Now, this is sad. Because the members, the church members, knew this was going on. And rather than say anything, you know, and we don't, we're not told, but, you know, they probably good, giving nice, you see. Unfortunately, the church let a lot of things go just because somebody gives, you know, puts a nice little offering in the offering plate. We can't celebrate like that. We can't celebrate like that. Be partial to people because of what they can do for you. Yeah? Now, we ain't stop celebrating. Now, y'all don't go get sad on me. But this is, we have to celebrate right. Yeah? So that when we get done, we don't have any kind of regrets. When you do it right, all right? And so, if you weren't familiar with that, just be aware that's what he's talking about when he said this boasting is not right. This is not. You see what he said? A little leaven leavens a whole lump. Now, y'all, I know some bakers in here. You know what he's talking about. That you know, you put yeast in bread, and what does the yeast do? A little bit of yeast eventually what takes over the whole lump of bread. Now, what is he saying? That man and that woman that you let sit up in that church, everybody knows about it, eventually it's going to start affecting what? Other people. Think of all those young people sitting up there. You sitting around telling these young people not to do this and not to do that. And yet you got two people here that they're watching you. Why are you so hard on me? You're saying you're not doing anything about this. That's like, I grew up in a household where both of my parents smoked. And, unfortunately, I never picked up the habit. And, you know, they weren't hard on me about smoking. But you see how hypocritical that would have been. My parents always on me about not smoking. And they go through a pack a day. But see, that's what he's talking about here. You got all of the facade of a wonderful holy celebration, and you got this rottenness sitting right in the middle of it. It's like a skunk sitting right in the middle of your worship service, and you think nobody's gonna smell it. It's not the best analogy, but you know what I mean. Sometimes people think you can't see their sin. They just said they're deceived. You don't know what's going on. And so that's the deal right here, is that the Corinthians were celebrating while ignoring sin. But you notice verses 7 and 8 say to us that godly celebration should be with sincerity and truth. Go back to the text. You see verse 7? Clean out the old leaven that you may be a new lump. You see what he's saying? When you get together, take care of that problem with these two, quote, church members. And then he goes on to tell them how to deal with them. You see? Then you can be what? You have a new lump. You can celebrate without people cutting their eyes over there wondering what's going on. You can celebrate without wondering what's going to happen to the young people. You can celebrate, you see, like there's a new lump, as you really are unleavened, for Christ, our Passover lamb, has been sacrificed. Jesus died so that you didn't have to live like this anymore. Now look at verse 8. Let us therefore celebrate the festival, not with the old leaven, the leaven of malice and evil, but with the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth. So that's the reason my statement is that godly celebration should be with sincerity and truth. Now, where are you going with all this, Brother Willie? Well, let me tell you. We cannot celebrate like we used to. And I'd like to be honest with you all. Because I wasn't a Christian until I was 28 years old. I didn't become a Christian until I was 28 years old. And I did a lot of awful things, you see, prior to that time. Including being a very awful hypocrite in church. You know, I was I was playing with a quote gospel group before I was saved, and you know, I moved here from Little Rock to St. Louis, and I started recording with this group. I won't mention their name. And I was a flat out heathen. I was just money to me. I agreed with them that I would work with them on Sundays in churches if they would play my parties with me on Saturday nights. That's what we did. We play parties on Saturday nights and churches on Sundays. It was just money to me. And here's the thing that got real weird, though. I started seeing some of the same people that were partying so hard on Saturday be the ones shouting and carrying on Sunday. It didn't mean nothing to me because it was just money until I was saved. You see? And once God saved me, I can't do this no more. And the group was really upset because, I mean, you know, we were recording. You know, we had studio time and all that kind of thing. But I couldn't do it anymore. I can't party like we used to party. I can't be this hypocrite. Y'all know what the word hypocrite means. We talked about that, don't you? Two-faced. You remember, you seen those old movies where they put they used to have them fans that they put with the face on in front of them. Put one face in front of your face and you act like this character. You put the next face. And you say, that's what hypocrite means. You're two-faced. And God just said, Willie, you can't be two-faced anymore. You got to be for real. And so that's what I'm saying to you all. When you realize that you can't celebrate like you used to, you can't. We can't celebrate like that. That's what Paul is saying. You get it? That's what he's saying to us. So our celebration needs to be different. So we can't celebrate trying to camouflage a guilty conscience that's inside you. You can't camouflage knowing that God is displeased with your lifestyle. You can't camouflage knowing that God is displeased with what you just did last night. What you did, you see, last week. Brother Willie, where are you going with all this? We must have a clean heart and a clear conscience to celebrate without regret. Once God saved me and I stopped doing those things, I could wake up and have a clear conscience in the morning. And I didn't have to get high to kind of dull down my conscience, you see. When we celebrate, like today, when you leave here today, you shouldn't have regrets about, you see, something that went down. We try to work hard to make sure we don't put stuff in front of you that's going to cause you to be troubled. You shouldn't come to church and be troubled by what you saw or what you experienced. Yeah? Your celebration should be free from those kinds of things. You should be able to sleep well at night after your celebration. That's what I'm saying. Here's the last statement I wrote for myself. God must get some glory from our celebration. Some glory. God needs to get some glory when we celebrate, yeah? Some real glory. What did he say? Let your light shine before men so that they can what? See your good works and what? Glorify your Father. God needs to get some glory. Remember what Paul said in 1 Corinthians? Whether we eat or drink or whatever we do, do it all what? For the glory of God. God needs to get some glory from our celebration. Well, God bless you. You've been really patient, and you find that thanksgiving and joy and rejoicing are themes throughout the New Testament. In 1 Thessalonians 5, It says, in all circumstances, what? Give thanks. This is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Philippians 4:4, we sang that this morning. What? Rejoice in the Lord, what? Always. Again, I say rejoice. The Bible says that the Christian should always be ready to give an answer to every man that asks you a reason for the hope that is within you with gentleness and respect. But I'm saying to you that the Christian should always be ready to celebrate at all times and in all circumstances. Listen to the Bible. Give thanks in all circumstances. Does that sound pretty comprehensive? Rejoice in the Lord, what? Always. Pray without what? Ceasing. Well, you know this verse. I will bless the Lord, what? At all times. How often? At all times I will bless the Lord. And you know this. This is the day that the Lord has made. How many days does God make? This is the day that the Lord has made. What am I going to do? Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Every day you ought to be ready. Every day you ought to be ready to rejoice and celebrate. Don't be faking it. See, don't be a hypocrite like I was. I'm grinning and faking it, and there was no joy in me. That's not the way it ought to be, right? We ain't like that anymore. Always be ready. Always be ready. Well, God bless you all. Brothers and sisters, we always have a reason to celebrate. What you're talking about, brother preacher? Here it is. God is what? Good all the time. And what? All the time God is good. What did Paul say? And my God shall supply what? All your needs according to his riches and glory in Christ Jesus. When does he do it? All the time. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. When? All the time he's my shepherd. He takes care, he provides for me. When? All the time. Evening and morning and at noon will I cry, pray and cry aloud. And what? He shall what? Hear my voice. Oh, my Jesus was wounded. He's wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. And by his stripes, we're healed. When? Right now. You see, we got reason. We always got a reason to celebrate. Jesus promised that he would never leave us, never forsake us in this life. He said, lo, or behold, I'm with you, what? Always. Even to the end of the world, or the end of the age. So I'm asking you today, will you enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise? Will you give thanks to him and bless his name today? Why, brother preacher, all these problems I got, why are you thinking that I ought to be blessing and praising and celebrating the name of the Lord today? Well, because every day is what? Every day is a day of thanksgiving. And is this day one of those every days? Lord, I thank you so much for the way you help us and keep us